You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Those who stormed this Capitol and those who instigated and incited and those who called on them to do so held a dagger at the throat of America and American democracy. They didn't come here out of patriotism or principle. They came here in rage, not in service of America, but rather in service of one man.
So says President Biden today, January 6th, the anniversary 1 year ago of the so-called insurrection on the Capitol Hill. The date, of course, all the legislators, the Senate had gathered to certify the election of 2020, which said that Biden had won. A lot of folks had questions, still have questions. I'm among them. I think there was probably a lot of fraud. Was there enough fraud to overturn the election? I don't know. There are enough cases in some districts that say, yeah, that would have affected that district. And if that district falls, the state falls. I mean, there are all kinds of scenarios we can play out. But let's try to deal with reality. You're not going to get reality from the other side in the way they're preparing and reporting the story. You want an example? First of all, CNN, and they have on their webpage by their analyst, Chris Salitza, he said the single most important and powerful line from Joe Biden's January 6th speech of today. Well, I thought I played a pretty good one there, that he said that patriotism is important. I mean, he was saying that those who came here, he said, were not real patriots. They were led here by a deceiving president in some part that stormed the Capitol for this man. Well, it's a lie, but so be it. He said it. But Chris says the biggest line, the line, not the lie, you could call it both, it will stand out with Joe Biden and his followers and the state-controlled media, according again to CNN, you can't love your country only when you win. I have to ask you, how many times have you voted in an election and your candidate did not win at whatever level of government? But let's say especially at a presidential election. I can think of several that come to mind with me. In fact, I can remember one time my wife canceling out my vote because she voted for Perot, which when I'd voted for Bush at that time, and so Clinton got in. That's how Clinton got in, basically. Well, they go out and riot, throw a fit and everything else, and there were not that many questions about illegality. Probably were still going on, and certainly in some areas and certain local elections. This time we had a demand that we had to have more mail-in ballots, and yes, we had more people vote than ever by mail-in ballot and by total, and a lot of it went unchecked, unvetted, unverified fully, and a lot of people showed up maybe voting more than one time. We know that. That's been documented, but again, I'm not saying this is enough to change anything, and in fact, I don't care at this point. At this point, we need to look at 2022 and going forward. Do not get bogged down in the quagmire of what some might say would be like going back into Vietnam again. But we're going to break it down for you in various parts. And, of course, there's more to the story on that, but there's also more reference COVID. And now a New York professor of bioethics flat out admitting it is time to shame and blame unvaccinated Americans and that society should penalize them. He's serious. We're going to get a take on that and some of the latest developments regarding COVID and some of the Pfizer pills and vaccinating kids down to age 5 and trying to do it younger. Joining us will be Dr. Rick Layman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. We have a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. A lot of it will be January 6th, but not all of it. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Certain dates echo throughout history, including dates that instantly remind all who have lived through them where they were and what they were doing when our democracy came under assault. Dates that occupy not only a place on our calendars, but a place in our collective memory. December 7th, 1941, September 11th, 2001, and January 6th, 2021.
Vice President Harris, now I know I do not need to recount for you, but I'm going to anyway, when she referred to those dates of that stand out in your mind, especially if you were alive. One is Pearl Harbor Day, another 9/11. More of you would know about that, of course. And then January 6th. She is equating what happened on January 6th at the U.S. Capitol, as unpatriotic as I see it, and those who were involved in actually assaulting police standing at the Capitol steps, pushing, battling against them, forcing their way inside, running up and down the stairs of Congress, grabbing different things, doing selfies inside Congresswoman Pelosi's office, and so forth, and some vandalism and graffiti, and apparently some decided it would be a perfect place to relieve themselves in the hallway. I don't accept any of that. All of that is to be condemned, but it is not comparable in any stretch of the imagination of Pearl Harbor to begin with, much less 9/11, or what happened at Gettysburg. We had on 9/11 nearly 3,000 Americans killed on that date, and of course many killed since that date, all tied back to events of 9/11. We had 2,400 lost in Pearl Harbor, and of course hundreds and thousands of more lost in the wars that followed. We had 40,000 casualties at Gettysburg, 40,000 in that one battle. How many died in the Capitol Hill January 6 event? You want to call it a riot? Okay, I'll go with riot. An insurrection? No, it wasn't an insurrection. It was wrong, it was unlawful. But how many died? 4, 5 maybe. Originally, one police officer supposedly was killed by protesters, hit over the head by a fire extinguisher. Other officers were assaulted, and they got everything from bear spray into their eyes to being cut and scratched and battered and jammed and things of this nature. None of them died. Several have now claimed PTSD. And I'm sorry. I am really sorry if they truly are suffering it. But you take any law enforcement officer who is on our streets on a regular basis, they have reason for real trauma because they see it on a daily basis. It could be certainly psychological trauma for them for the rest of their lives. And, of course, for those on true battlefields. But this, they say, was traumatic to them. All right, I'll accept it. It's their choice. And maybe it's just a way to get some money. I don't know. I'm not even arguing that point. I'm just simply saying it all pales in comparison to everything you heard VP Harris lay out on those dates. The final actual count of dead that actually had to do with anyone being shot and intentionally was to be brought down was 1. Ashley Babbitt. She was unarmed, but she had a backpack on, and she's crawling through a broken window going into the chamber. And the Capitol Guard officer who shot her, there have been reports surfaced since then that has a history of some reckless behavior. I don't really care about that. I'm looking at the exact moment at that point in his mind, what was happening, and those trying to storm their way into the chamber. His job was to protect members of the legislature. Now, they were all huddled down behind their panels and desks and so forth. They didn't know what to expect, and he certainly didn't know what to expect, what she has in that backpack. Just because he can see her hands doesn't mean a thing. Anybody that has been in the Middle East and sees a backpack laying beside a table that's been abandoned, you have reason to fear. I don't know what his past was, but, yeah, he had reason to fear at that point. So he fired one shot, and it led to the death of Ashley Babbitt. The others were all health-related. But they'll tell you about those who were killed as if they were murdered. That's what they want you to think. So, in addition to VP Harris, Senator Chuck Schumer took to the floor today to hear his own voice.
The attack of January 6th didn't come out of the blue. It was not an act of God. It was not something that came from foreign soil. It wasn't even just some mere protest that got out of hand. No, 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 no. January 6th was an attempt to reverse, through violent means, the outcome of a free and fair election. An insurrection. Call it what it is. What it was.
It was not an insurrection. That's what I'm saying. It was not. You cannot call it it then or now. It was not an insurrection. And about these little riots that get out of hand, was he referring to Parkland and Oakland where they were throwing Molotov cocktails, bottles of urine and feces at federal and state and local officers and hitting them in the eye with lasers trying to blind them? Would that be a riot they got out of hand? Are we doing anything about those guys? Have we done anything to go out and really prosecute them? No. Most of them have been bailed out or given no bail whatsoever. And those who were bailed out by groups put together for that specific purpose. And VP Harris was one of the first to contribute money. And then later, after they got all those who were rounded up, not really arrested, but brought in for some of that activity, the riots that got out of hand, then they started using the money to free other criminals. So why is January 6th still being played out so big? Well, of course, it's going to be an anniversary date. I told you the day it happened. If you go back to that program, maybe I should have. I said clearly on that program that day, what is happening is wrong. But it will be used and weaponized against Republicans, conservatives, forever, forever into the future. Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, Republican of New York, asserting today exactly what many of us agree is, this is basically the campaign the Democrats are running on. Don't pay any attention about the high inflation, the cost of beef. Don't pay attention to that. Don't pay attention to what you're paying at the pump. Don't pay attention that the store shelves are empty. And don't pay any attention that they're threatening to take away your job if you won't get a vaccine, or they're ordering your children that must be masked daily and possibly have a vaccine. Pay no attention to that, folks, because that would be looking behind the green curtain. Look at what they're putting in front of you, January 6th. And Congressman Jimmy Raskin, Democrat of Maryland, a member of the House Select Committee on that January 6th attack. He made it very clear. There were players involved, and we know what they were doing and who they were and what their intent was.
There was a mass demonstration, a wild demonstration called by Donald Trump that turned into a riot. Okay, that was the outer ring of activity. The middle ring of activity was the insurrection itself, and that was the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, the Three Percenters, the militia groups, the First Amendment Praetorian, a bunch of organized extremist violent groups that were training for battle that broke our windows and that began the assault on the police officers that the rioters filled in on.
See, it's all planned out. I mean, my God, that's like following a script that's written after you've seen the football game. After you've seen it. But he says, beware, there was something even more frightening.
But the scariest part of the day was really the inner ring of the coup. And there, the whole point was to try to force Vice President Mike Pence to declare completely lawless powers to unilaterally reject and repudiate electoral college votes from Arizona, from Georgia, from Pennsylvania, and a handful of other states. The point there was to lower Joe Biden's total in the Electoral College of 306 to below 270. And at that point, under the 12th Amendment to the Constitution, the whole contest is kicked into the House of Representatives for a so-called contingent election.
And he raises, so why would Donald Trump, and as he says, his flunkies, want the election decided in the House of Representatives under the control of Nancy Pelosi and Democrats? Here's his answer.
Well, under the 12th Amendment, we don't vote in such a contingent election on the basis of one member, one vote, the way we usually vote. We vote on the basis of one state delegation, one vote. Each state gets one vote. So the Republicans had captured 27 states after the congressional elections. We had 22 states, and one state, Pennsylvania, was split down the middle. So even had Liz Cheney, the at-large rep from Wyoming, defected from the Republican caucus on this, and I think she would have, they still would have had 26 votes to declare Donald Trump the president and to call the contest over. At that point, I think Trump would have been ready to invoke the Insurrection Act and to declare something like martial law, call in the National Guard, and, you know, pronounce himself a hero for putting down the violence and the insurrection that he had organized against us.
That was a plan, he says. And a lot of people buy that. They claim that that's fact. If you complain about the election, you're lying and you're buying a big lie. When he mentions the 12th Amendment, he's referring to the fact that in the Constitution, the 12th Amendment deals with how we certify the votes, which we do now, as that we have a Senate come together, and they count the votes of each state, and they certify this person won. And if they fail to do so, well, then it goes to the full House, but it's not an individual vote then. Each state gets only one vote, which they think they would win then. See, he's got it all planned out. That was the whole idea. I'll give you more details on the 12th Amendment later. But coming up, shame you who've not been vaccinated.
I have a new sponsor, just in time, that could save you a lot of trouble, maybe pain. K-Guard leaf-free gutter system. Leaves get in your gutter, rain comes, ice, you have a major costly issue. Contact my new sponsor for a free estimate. K-Guard Midwest, locally owned, so you're supporting your neighbors and this program. KGuardMidwest.com. KGuardMidwest.com.
I started singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. The good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye and singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I want us to act as a community. I want us to act as a team. When you're fighting a war, you need all hands on deck. I don't want to reject those who still haven't done the right thing. I'll condemn them. I'll shame them. I'll blame them. We can penalize them more. We can say, you got to pay more on your hospital bill if you weren't vaccinated. You can't get life insurance or disability insurance at affordable rates if you aren't vaccinated. Those companies should not treat us as equals in terms of what the financial burdens are that that disease imposes.
That is a sign and sound of a dictator. His name is Arthur Kaplan, New York professor of bioethics, a guest on CNN. He said, those who are not doing what we tell them to when it comes to dealing with COVID, that means masking. It means getting not one shot, but two shots, a booster shot. Booster shots forever if they demand that. If you're not going to do that, he said, I'll condemn them, I'll shame them, I'll blame them, and then we can penalize them. You're going to pay more on your hospital bill. You can't get life insurance or disability insurance if you're not vaccinated. And he adds, these companies should not treat us as equal in terms of what the financial burdens are that the disease imposes. Let me give you a quick scenario, and you tell me how this should play out. We, of course, know those who insist on smoking numerous cigarettes a day are raising their health risk, a lung risk, right? You know that. And not just that, but other parts of their body would be subjected to it. We know those who drink a lot of sugar sodas, they're subjecting themselves to obesity and hardening, eating fatty foods, fried foods. Aside from your choices of what you want to do like that, what if your job is like you're a coal miner And that means you're exposed to coal dust. Well, of course, they want to shut the coal mines down. So do we say, if you're going to work in a coal mine, then we'll just make sure you get no health coverage, black lung disease? No, not even going to pay attention to it. Is that what you want? That's what this guy is suggesting. If you don't do what they tell you to, then we'll start cutting out your insurance. You'll get nothing. And we'll shame you and call you out. For someone suffering with lung cancer that might be secondhand smoke because of parents or grandparents who lived in the house, you're going to treat them the same? You're going to make somebody lose their job because they're a coal mine worker? Or maybe they work to clean up asbestos or hazardous spills, and yet then they come down with something. You're gonna go after them as well? And where do we stand right now, coronavirus? Well, even NPR, National Public Radio, says cases are increasing still. They say COVID. Now, when they say COVID, you don't know if they mean the original COVID, the Delta variant, or Omicron. For the most part, they're talking about Omicron, which is also now mixed in with flu, and you can't tell one from the other generally. But even NPR cites a doctor says, I see hope on the horizon. 6, maybe 8 weeks, we'll have this behind us. And, of course, they continue to insist you're going to have to get vaccinated. You're going to have to be masked. We're going to shut down schools. Chicago did. And others are considering and doing so. You'll be joined in a few moments by Dr. Rick Lehman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. Now, he deals with a lot of pros and amateurs. And if they are hurt, they're going to play the best they can. If it's got to involve surgery or something, they'll do it. But if it's just going to be cold, sniffles, flu-like, if they can be on the field, they're going to be. I want to get his latest take on some of this push to shame and maybe penalize.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota has the perfect new or pre-owned car for you, but Jay Ackerman also has a mission to help charities that make a difference. Ackerman Toyota supports food banks, veterans groups, head injury victims, charities battling cancer. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Dr. Lehman, glad to have you on board, sir. That's a foul-up. I failed to communicate that we now sometimes have to dial 314. My bad. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Larry. How are you?
Good, and I apologize again. That's on me because I forget that sometimes we have to put 314 in, even though we're in the same area code. All right, I want to ask you something. Let me begin something that just came across earlier, and that is that the NCAA is updating its COVID-19 guidelines for winter sports. They're adjusting the definition of, quote, fully vaccinated, pointing out the Omicron variant presenting another surge of cases. This according to the NCAA chief medical officer. And they say this is going to be in line with the latest public health directives. And they're going to let the public health directives supposedly follow through. What does that mean?
Well, you know, I think what's going to happen is they're going to shorten the quarantine time. So that's a positive. I think they're going to continue to test. They're going to make sure everybody, much like Djokovic, you know, is not only vaccinated but boosted. And they're going to make sure that everybody that has had any symptoms gets a PCR test. So they're going to have daily antibody tests. And, again, if you're positive, you're going to get quarantined for 5 days. But they're going to make, or I wouldn't say make, but request everybody be vaccinated and boosted. And it's going to be severe. They're, you know, we're seeing a lot of missed games in the NHL. And I think we're going to continue to see positive tests.
But, and the more tests we take, I think the more positives we're going to see, I think. Am I wrong?
Well, you know, here's the problem. The problem is pretty simple in my mind. This is a variant that really doesn't have a lot of symptoms. A lot of people test positive, and they're not really sick. Muscle aches, maybe a little head cold or whatever.
There's nothing to keep a pro athlete from wanting to go out and play.
Absolutely. For sure. And so that's the issue. So we're seeing positive tests. We're seeing athletes that are essentially asymptomatic. They all say the same thing. I talk to them all the time. Hey, I could play. There's nothing wrong. But now I'm on the 10-day and now the 5-day quarantine list. And they're trying to stop the spread of this 100%, which can't be done. So based on this, you're 100% right. If we test more, we're going to get more positives. And we're going to have more people on the DR. And that's just what's going to happen. And right now, the problem is we're seeing this shut down games and you know, limit teams' ability to perform at their best.
All right. So before you join us also, I was reading a report from NPR that said they've talked to an expert in this NPR. You know, they would not put a good bright light on it if they didn't have to, but the doctor they're interviewing saying, you know, I think we're going to be past this another 6 to 8 weeks.
So I think you have a couple things going on here. In my opinion, this is my opinion, I think everyone's going to get Omicron. It's very contagious. It's everywhere. There's reports out that cloth masks, which is what most people are using, don't do anything for the Omicron because the particles are too small. So we're doing all this stuff. And basically, very few people are getting sick. You know, the numbers of people that are getting sick, I mean, really sick, are small. Now we're seeing a lot of hospitalizations and we're seeing high numbers, but it's almost like a head cold. And based on that, I agree. I think you're going to have almost everybody that's going to get touched by it is going to get maybe some symptoms, not much symptoms, but not real bad. And I think it's going to blow through. Now, what the next variant's going to be, nobody knows.
All
but
right,
at this particular variant, I don't think we need to be crazy about.
And at this point, there still is only one supposed confirmed death from Omicron. It is, they were saying 75%, then rolled it back to 40%, then now it's back to 90%+, more like the cold, like you say, a flu, something of this nature. And yet they're still making vaccine mandates. And now the pills are coming out. Would the pills might solve some of those who don't want to get the shot, or would they not? And are there issues with the pills?
Well, first of all, I think they're going to recommend everybody getting vaccinated, which has been the recommendation. Number two, you know, the pills are really to treat the symptoms. So if you're not really having much symptoms, I don't know that the pills are really going to be necessary.
There's a Delta that apparently knocked down Pfizer vaccine's effect on transmission, according to a MedPage report you sent me.
Right. So you know, I think what the bottom line is, they're seeing the same antibody response in people unvaccinated as vaccinated in the Delta variant. So now it is going to decrease the level of you getting sick. You should be less sick. But in terms of transmissibility and the number of antibodies, I don't think it looks like from that article that the Delta variant is not really the same. You're getting the same antibody response whether you're vaccinated or not.
Well, of course, Biden has said more Pfizer pills are going to be shipping out this week, doubling the effort and so forth. Yet we still have Chicago teachers and others saying, oh, I can't go back until everybody's actually vaccinated. I'm still fearful. And whether or not it's a true fear, it's a labor political pull. You can debate all day. But we've got Marines that are facing dismissal, no religious exemption given, U.S. Navy SEALs not being given religious exemptions, and all of those are still on appeal and being fought out because you just cannot, the Supreme Court has decided long ago, you cannot determine what someone's religion is or is not if that's what they say it is.
Absolutely. And so, you know, do we really want to discount the military or the Chicago? I think this whole thing in Chicago is obscene. And I think kids being out of school is absolutely obscene. What we're doing to this younger generation is criminal and it's long lasting. So I think this idea that the teacher's saying, hey, we're not going to teach, is ridiculous. And I think the idea that kids are not going to be in school is even more ridiculous. We're doing a lot more damage with that than we're ever going to be doing if these kids were to test positive, especially at that age range.
Yeah, now, Governor Hochul, the new governor of New York State, said the other day, we don't need any more tests to show this. Parents say they can look in the eyes of their kids and see the way they look, the way they respond, that they've been severely damaged just by this lockdown restriction and the fear. Now, one other thing, there's a New York professor of bioethics I had on a few minutes before you joined us. He said, I'm all into, I'll condemn these that won't get vaccinated. I'll shame them. I'll look for a way to blame them. We can penalize them more. They're not going to get health care insurance at right rates. In other words, if you're not going to get vaccinated, we're just going to treat you as a more than a leper.
So, you know, you have to look at that. I mean, there's a lot of, so you're a pro athlete. You're worried that this fact, and you read all these articles, and you have about a third of the people that have some long hauler syndrome, meaning, you know, whether it's residual mental fog, myocarditis, pulmonary problems, whatever it is. You're a pro athlete, and now you're a Marine, or it does, you're Larry Connors, and you're going to get injected. You have some concerns about, you know, your ability, you're Aaron Rodgers, to go out and play after this, and it's going to possibly impact your career. You can see where some people are concerned about this. You know, they read the articles, they see what some of the side effects are, they see what the long term could be, and they're worried about this. So again, I can't fault those people for saying, you know what, I don't want to get injected. They know what the risks are if they don't get injected, and now we're condemning them. We're not going to let Djokovic play.
Shame them and everything else. Yeah,
exactly.
Dr. Lehman, thank you very much, and I apologize for the foul up in the beginning. That was mine, but I thank you very much. Another excellent interview. Appreciate it, sir.
Take care, Larry.
You bet. Coming back to 12th Amendment.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I want to go back to something we had at the beginning of the hour when we were hearing from Congressman Jamie Raskin, Democrat of Maryland, talking about the January 6th attack and why it was being carried out. And he said the whole point was that Donald Trump, and according to him, Donald Trump and his flunkies wanted to get the election decided in the House of Representatives under Nancy Pelosi and Democrat majority. And he said, why would they think that would be good to them? And he pointed out the fact is, under the 12th Amendment, you don't vote in each a contingent election on the basis of one member, one vote, as normal. You vote on the basis of one state delegation gets one vote. So each state gets one vote. Republicans had captured 27 states after the congressional elections. Democrats had 22. One split down the middle, Pennsylvania. So he was saying, so at that point, they were thinking about, you know, this will prove that by putting it back into the House that we could end up winning. Now, this has been done before. It all came out of 1800s election when you had Burr and Jefferson battling. The 1801 Electoral College pointed out all the issues with the electoral system at that point. So in 1804, then they came up with the 12th Amendment. The 12th Amendment specifically states that a person to receive a majority of the electoral votes for vice president, for that person to be elected vice president by the Electoral College. It's kind of resolving that part of it. But let me read to you again from Amendment 12 of the U.S. Constitution. This is when we get to the certification point of the votes, which is what was happening on January 6th. The Senate comes together, gets the state's certification that these are our votes, we've certified them, they are valid and legal, and for you to see and make the final determination. If you recall, when Hillary Clinton ran against Donald Trump, all of the maps that were being put up by CNN and all of the main controlled media at that point, they were painting them blue all over the nation. Everything's going to go blue. It's going to go to Hillary. See, they were worried, and they were looking forward to it because they were worried, you know, Trump isn't enough of a populist. He might actually get the most people voting for him, but he can't win the Electoral College. So that's where Hillary will be elected, through the Electoral College. They were all good about it. It was all good until, well, it's like somebody asked me the other day, how was poker going? I said, it's going great until it wasn't. And that's the way it was on election night for Hillary Clinton. When suddenly they realized the electoral votes were not going to be there for her. She was not going to get enough electoral votes to win. And they started crying almost immediately. We should get rid of the Electoral College. It should be abandoned. Well, now, the last time around, between Biden and Trump, they were all about the Electoral College. Yeah, the Electoral College. So the Electoral College on Amendment 12, dealing with that part of it, points out that if you cannot decide by the Electoral College votes who is going to be president, if there is no one with a majority, then those having the highest numbers, not exceeding three on the list, is voted for president. The House of Representatives shall choose immediately by ballot the president. The House will choose. And the votes will be taken by the states. And the representation from each state has one vote. One vote. One vote. And a quorum for that purpose would consist of a member of House of Representatives, two-thirds of the states. A majority of the states shall be necessary for a final choice. And if the House of Representatives shall not choose a president, whenever the right of choice shall fall upon them before the fourth day of March, following this date of the Electoral College meeting, January 6th, then the vice president shall act as president. And in the case of the death or constitutional disability of the president, the person having the greatest number of votes as vice president shall be vice president and therefore step into that next step, the next seat up. I know it may sound a little bit confusing, but the bottom line is they want you to believe that Trump was going to use everything he could and had sent the people in there to disrupt the electoral process, certification process, so much so that it couldn't be decided, and therefore they go back to the House deciding it, and by states they would win. Does that sound like a big lie? Well, they tell you that it's a lie to complain about the election.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.